Today's Friday, November 22nd, and we're doing robots, AI, security, and nonsense today. It is a triple threat.
It's Leftovers Friday.
Well, no, Leftovers Friday is after Thanksgiving next week, so.
That's Black Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The shopping day.
The news might be a little weird next week. I'm just letting you know now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'll have to think of when to record that.
Yeah.
Oh, is that next week?
Yeah,
Thanksgiving's next week. USA. USA.
That would have to be.
There's a lot of things happening next week. I don't even know if we'll get the Patreon version out in time, but we'll try.
So we talked about Google. Google is getting into healthcare. Now, in that sense, the way Google's doing it is they are explicitly like, yes, we are part of the healthcare process. We will get your records. We will look at them. We will judge them. We will give recommendations based on that. But people, the big tech companies, have been in the healthcare world collecting data for much longer than that.
Healthcare websites are sharing sensitive medical data with Google, Facebook, and Amazon.
Feels good.
According to the MIT Review. And they go into some details here. This is the MIT Review article is really about another article that was, I think, in the Financial Times.
Which is paywalled.
Yeah. So if you have access to the Financial Times, that is going to be a better read. But there is some good commentary from the MIT Technology Review here on that.
WebMD is the big one. Everybody knows WebMD, right?
Yes.
So when you go on there and you search for something, it tells you you're dying of cancer. It's also telling all the big tech companies that the same thing.
You're
what
dying
symptoms
of cancer
you search
too?
For. So if you go to Amazon and it recommends products that might be related to whatever you searched for, you know, erectile dysfunction, hey, maybe that's why.
The healthcare climate in America is basically like, oh, you have cancer? Well, we can try to save you, but you have to give us all the money you have now and any future earnings that you might have, or you can just die. Either one, really.
Which is usually the easier option, let's be honest. Just enjoy your final 30 days. And Google, when it gets a hold of medical records, it wants to show off what it can do with them. It's like, oh my God, look what we can do when you give us medical records. Look how much we can control your life. But sometimes they don't think all the way through when they make those decisions.
Google almost made 100,000 chest x-rays public until it realized, wait a minute, people could probably figure out who the chest x-ray belongs to. I can't talk today.
That's fine. It sounded like pickle. It's when you laugh.
Yeah, so 100,000 x-rays made public, and then Google was like, wait, those pesky kids are good at figuring out who this chest x-ray belongs. This is Chris Christie's x-ray. What's going on here?
Now, they point out that they did anonymize. They pulled all the information about it except for the date. But somebody figured out, it's like, hey, between the date it happened and the jewelry and piercings, I could conceivably figure out who this is. Now, piercings, okay, maybe I understand that, but jewelry? Is it like, hey, ma'am, could you take off your necklace for the x-ray? And she's like, I don't take the chain off for anybody.
Some people are weird about that kind of thing.
Really?
Though. Yeah.
Well, they better take it off for the MRI.
Yeah, for MRI. But, like, if you're just doing an x-ray or something, they won't take it off.
Well, that's when you find out that your necklace is not pure gold.
And it's not like that you could figure out the identity of all 100,000 people from that. Just that the odds are good that in 100,000 x-rays, you can figure out at least one person.
And that's one too many. But if they almost did it this time and just barely stopped it at the last minute, how long until it happens?
Yeah.
They're going to know you have the stones. They're going to release it.
Well, that's no secret. I wear that with pride. Stones awareness. To give up caffeine, people, it's not worth it.
It is. It's so worth it.
Remote desktop. That's a convenient tool, isn't it? But you know who else it's convenient for? The Russians.
Exclusive. Over half of the Fortune 500 have been exposed to remote access hacking. So what these researchers did was they scanned IP addresses that are known to belong to companies in the Fortune 500, and they found a lot of open remote desktop ports. Remote desktop is how you can remote into Windows systems and get a graphical environment. Problem is that remote desktop hackers have figured out how to execute arbitrary code remotely, even without logging in. So you don't even have to have a password. So that's bad.
Now, this is not one of those, like, the database didn't have a password type of deal. These have passwords, presumably. It's just still not secure. So That's unfortunate. And they point out that some of these were companies like, you know, like defense companies that normally take it very seriously with security. But even they had open remote desktop.
They take it so seriously, they adopt the shoot the messenger policy on anything remotely related to security.
TPM, your security portion, the chips on your motherboard that are all about cryptographics and security. We've known that they've had some problems for a while, and now they have more.
TPM fail vulnerabilities impact TPM chips in desktops, laptops, and servers. These are the trusted platform modules. They are off microprocessor trusted information stores that are meant to store private keys that can never be extracted. Well, it turns out they figured out how to extract those keys in 4 to 20 minutes, depending on your level of access. They can even be extracted remotely, so there are certain VPN appliances that use the TPM for storing the private encryption key, and it's like this hardware solution is more secure than software. Well, without the patch, it's possible to extract that private key and bamboozle even remote VPN providers.
It's a timing attack. Basically, it just figures out what the key is based on how long it takes to respond to certain things, which is ingenious and terrifying. Ransomware. You know, we have not seen a high-profile ransomware case in November, have we?
I mean, you said that like you're going to have a longer period of time, and it's like just November.
No, we definitely, there was some in October.
We need a breach of the month this month. Everybody's on vacation for... Yeah. Things do kind of wind down this part of the year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of the hackers are in colder climates, so they take off the winter months. Anyway, there is a new one, and not a high-profile case, but there are some in the wild who are seeing this new kind of ransomware.
This unusual new ransomware is going after servers. PureLocker ransomware appears to have some links to some of the most prolific cybercriminal operations active in the world today. This is written in Pure Basic, which a lot of virus scanning engines have trouble detecting that language and understanding what malware is doing in that language. So it's avoiding detection. It also is targeting macOS, Linux, and Windows because Pure Basic is available on all three platforms.
Hmm. Very 2019 of it. Very woke kind of ransomware. Doesn't discriminate. Intel... Oh, you know what? Actually, I can't do a segue on this one because I never found a version of it I could read. Did you find one?
Yes. So I can fill you in on this one. Intel fixes a security flaw it said was repaired 6 months ago. This has been an incredibly bad week for Intel. They just dropped 77 new vulnerabilities in Intel CPUs. 77! Their internal team discovered a little over 60 of those. Seven are new. Some are new variants of old hacks. Some are... old hacks that they thought they fixed that they didn't fix. It's bad. It's really bad. I mean, the fixes to date hurt performance up to 40% in some cases. It's only going to get worse from here. Conditional jumps are completely knackered. So, it's bad news for the core microarchitecture.
Can I quote you on that?
Yeah. I mean, sure. I it's just... I'm at a loss for words.
How are you going to put that into text?
I don't even know how you'd begin to spell that.
I have a feeling we're going to get a drawing of that on the next game stream.
I'm going to charge my iPad. I left my charger here all weekend.
So this article, actually, I thought about cutting this one. I forgot to. But this is Wired. A little bit of a clickbait article here. Because we already knew most of these. But it does point out an important thing. Because 5G is the hype right now. I bet during the holiday season, we're going to see a lot of, you got to get the 5G phone, run out and get it. But we might be rushing into 5G just a little too early.
As 5G rolls out, troubling new security flaws emerge. Now, let me spoil it for you here in this Wired article. These are not new security flaws. They are, in fact, old security flaws. The inertia between the time that like installers are installing the 5G equipment and the fact that the 5G equipment is flawed is months at a time. So there are installers right now that are deploying insecure 5G equipment because the installers don't understand the technology at a fundamental level, like you would think maybe they would.
I wouldn't think that.
I don't think they care.
Yeah.
I don't think they care either.
You got to get that hot new item, and 5G is going to be it.
It's like, listen, I got 50 of these to install. I plug it in and turn it on, and somebody in Cambodia is going to go ahead and update the software, maybe, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to say, usually, like, someone who's out, like, actually doing the installation is very far removed from any kind of support for it.
In order for me to make minimum, like, just above the poverty line wages, I've got to install 20 cell towers a day, so I don't have time to think about this.
Well, they get paid fairly well, considering, like, I don't think you require any sort of extra education for that, but I'm not sure.
This next story is a tale of caution, perhaps. If you're going to do something evil with your software, don't count on somebody further down the chain screwing it up by screwing up their part of the software. Because in this case, somebody just messed up a visual thing, a width, a full screen width, and that uncovered a dark secret.
Facebook bug shows the camera app has been the camera has been activated in the background during app use.
Yikes.
Some people have complained that their cameras got turned on while they were looking through Facebook's app. There's no way this wasn't intentional.
So what happened here is if you full screened a video or an image while browsing the Facebook app, when you went back to the regular sized browsing screen, it didn't take up the full width all of a sudden. There was a moment I was like,
where you could see yourself.
A JavaScript hiccup there before it pushed it back to full width. And underneath that was your camera looking at you.
Do you think that there's a machine learning thing going on there where it's like, oh, he's watching that video of the old man falling down the stairs again. Let's record his reaction and then run AI on that video.
Yeah, it's that AI that's like determining how you feel about a given piece of content. For sure. Now, Facebook, of course, has said this was all just a mistake. The camera wasn't doing anything. It didn't upload anything. It was just on.
It's fine.
But even if that's true, how much battery are they eating?
It was just on and running the AI locally and then transmitting the result, but not the video, back. Because we value your privacy. We're not going to send video of you without your knowledge. But we could analyze a video without your knowledge and send the result of that analysis back.
And you would never know either way. So really, just don't think about it.
But people do know. And people were a little bit freaked out to see. It is tough. Like, you know, like sometimes you're watching something on a tablet and then it goes to a black screen and you see the reflection of your horribleness looking back at you.
It's like, ooh.
That's a dark moment. TSX. There is a problem with TSX. And the good news, Intel is going to give you the opportunity to turn that off. The bad news is there's a performance price to pay when you do that.
Yeah, this is more of those 77 vulnerabilities from the Bloomberg article or New York Times or whatever it was earlier. So Windows and Linux are going to get options to disable Intel TSX, and that's going to prevent zombie load V2 attacks. The TSX extensions have to do with synchronization. It speeds up synchronization between threads. Without it, that's probably bad.
Well, it's slow. I don't know if bad necessarily, but it's slower. So you'll notice it. And they had a chart, I think, with how much you can expect to be affected, unless I read that somewhere else. Oh, no. It's just a...
Even 10th gen CPUs are affected, so...
Oh, look, this one has a dog food ad. Oh, nope, changed.
Well, you get, every time we click, it's going to... Also, Adblock is not doing jack about these Verge advertisements. the Verge is having its way with Adblock. So, artificial intelligence, right? We've talked about artificial intelligence came up with the flirt things last week, the horse names, the cat names. Remember the cat pictures?
The horrifying cat pictures.
Yeah,
pictures. Yeah.
So here's the question. Who owns it? If you install an AI and click a button and you do almost nothing and it generates an artificial person's face, do you now own that face? These are the questions.
The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office wants to know if artificial intelligence can own the content it creates, and it wants the public to weigh in. So the USPTO has said that it seems like if all you're doing is pushing a button, that would not be eligible for copyright.
Not a great
stock
photo.
No. Not at all, really.
I mean, I guess that's a brain, but it's on traces. And
but there's music
notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AI generated music. Is it eligible for copyright protection?
Nope. Moving on to robots. There's a lot of talk about robots stealing jobs. That's maybe it's probably going to be a campaign thing, don't you think? But if you rewind, you know, 10, 20 years ago, I guess more like 20 now, the big campaign thing was China. taking our jobs.
China.
Right? All the manufacturing left this country and went to China. And so now, the darkest of timelines, our robots are losing their jobs.
American robots lose jobs to Asian robots as Adidas shifts manufacturing. So this wasn't just Americans, it was also Germans. So Adidas has domestic manufacturing facilities in America and Germany. Well, most of that is going to Asia now because of cost and innovation.
Probably mostly cost, let's be
honest.
These
egg-shaped, or is that just the design tricking my eye?
I think it's the design tricking your eye.
I don't like those.
I don't even know what that is.
I thought they were bike helmets at first.
Oh, maybe I thought it was a soccer ball.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a soccer ball.
Oh.
If it's a bike helmet, it would make sense that it's not a perfect circle. I don't know. Anyway, I don't care for it.
Engagement challenge. What do you think it is?
I think Ryan's getting a 3D printer. No.
Well, I mean, we're going to make a vest out of it. 3D printing is still a very niche thing. There's not a lot you can do with it, to be fair. But some very enterprising people figured out, they were like, hey, let's take some ideas that are based on like quantum physics on tiny, tiny, tiny stuff, and let's scale it up and 3D print it and see what happens.
This article was fascinating. Researchers 3D printed plastic cubes with complex patterns that make them bulletproof. These patterns come from a paper on the theoretical possible arrangement of carbon atoms, but it's super hard to arrange carbon atoms at this scale. But there's this guy in like 1993 that came up with the idea that if we could arrange carbon atoms in these ways, we could create all sorts of new space age materials. So they're just printing the shape of those materials with just good old-fashioned PLA plastic and resin. And these materials are incredible at stopping bullets.
Not just that, but you can compress them with incredible weight and they won't shatter. They'll smush down a little bit, but that structure makes them support a ton of weight. So there's probably a lot of cool stuff that you can do with these. And you can see where the bullets went in. And I mean, this is literally just plastic.
Yeah.
And that's probably... it's probably a little bit more expensive than sandbags, but it'll probably last longer too.
Yeah.
So
you could totally put these, you could line the walls of your house with these and no one would ever know.
Do you think they would have insulated
properties? They would know. They find everything. The inspector finds everything.
We just shipped 600 pounds of PLA plastic to this. I don't know. The bullet penetration depth there was only two layers. The solid block of resin, it completely destroyed the solid block of resin, but like the hollow thing, it only went through two layers.
Pretty cool. That would be light enough to put into a vest. It might be a little bulky, but...
might look a little blocky.
I mean, if it's between that and getting shot.
Well, that's true.
We talked about the security robot that was guarding a park. He was patrolling, and he'd been waiting his whole life to use his security robot powers, and it finally happened. Something went down. There was a fight or something like that, and somebody ran over and pushed the call police button. It was his time to shine, and
it played music and
he did
ran
nothing.
Away.
Yeah. He told the person to get out of the way. And it points out that security robots don't make us any more secure. They actually, that's not their job at all.
Security robots are mobile surveillance devices, not human replacements.
Great.
And this Verge article details all the sensors and cameras. It's like, it's just rolling around, taking inventory of license plates and faces.
It looks a little more sinister in this article.
I think this is a different one.
He looks a little angry.
I like that this kind of looks like a mouth.
Yeah. Like he's got the angry eyebrows, but then he's also a little bit surprised.
Yeah. So they point out that most likely if you see one of these robots rolling around, no one ever dreamed that they would be useful in terms of security. They're not. All they're doing is gathering data, which is really valuable. You think about how much it costs to lease these robots, the data they're collecting is actually more valuable. And they point out that a lot of these robots will serve Wi-Fi. So they're associating your phone with you as you're traveling around, and they're taking your picture, and they're using facial recognition, and they're recording your voice.
This is super dark.
Yeah. He doesn't look so friendly anymore. I don't like him.
They should legislate so that the face on your robot has to be menacing based on how much surveillance it performs.
I mean, mean, with that one, it's basically like the Securitrons from Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, it should be terrifying. We talk about robots stealing jobs, and it's kind of the mainstream story is, no, that's not a problem at all. But if you dig through a little bit, peel back the first layer, it seems like it's happening a lot, and it's only going to get worse. And now, the world's oldest profession has been affected.
Russia Today is talking about the fetish or future. Sex robots give the boot to human prostitutes at a Swiss brothel, charging half the price. Now, that headline is a little misleading. There's still real prostitutes there. You could just get the fake ones for half price. Or both for a discount.
Which, I mean, if you go for the combo, how insulting is it? It's like, all right, human woman, we're done. It's robot girl's turn. So, of course, they have the pictures. You can't have an article like this without some fantastic pictures. The word robot is maybe a little...
They're just dolls that hold still. Look at this guy's hand coming up out of the screen there. Wow.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you get, I think, like 30 minutes for 180 Swiss francs. I don't know what that,
yeah, I don't know what that turns
translates
into.
To, but it's too much. Am I projecting, or does she look super judgmental?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Look at me. You don't... I'm not a real girl.
If you expect me to do anything other than lie here, I'm sorely disappointed.
They also point out that one of the requirements is that everybody involved take a shower, including the robot. But how are you going to properly clean the robot?
The answer is you don't. And then we're going to have a follow-up story where it's like horrible diseases spread from robots.
Well, that is a fantastic segue, Krista. Because when it comes to horrible diseases that we thought we'd gotten rid of, they're back.
The Black Death Plague just reappeared in China. I don't think we ever fully got rid of the Black Death. I think antibiotics became a thing.
This is the airborne pneumonia version of the Black Death. And so this is the extra mega bad version.
Plague doctors are super cool.
Yeah, I was going to say we should sell some masks in our store. L1 branded.
This is in Asia, in China, right? Yeah, so in some of the more primitive northern parts of China, people pick these up and brought it into the larger cities, and they lock them down, and they're like, no, this is serious. We have to get on top of this. I think bubonic is the version that wiped everybody out in Europe, right?
Yeah. Through rat bites and things like that.
But this is the pneumonic version. Yeah.
So you could just cough on somebody and they could get the Black Plague. So this is bad.
Not good news.
But they do point out the flea thing. Although I've always read that the flea thing was maybe a misnomer.
Yeah, that it was. It's not likely because... your immune system's not that crappy.
Maybe yours isn't. Disney Plus has hit, and as Krista pointed out in the previous episode, people are just going wild for
it. Losing their minds.
I wonder how much of it do you think it's kind of like where when a new restaurant comes to town, everybody just goes crazy.
That was kind of the vibe I got based on the people in my hometown.
But one of the things that you can watch on it, because Disney now owns the Star Wars franchise, is the classic Star Wars films. And a lot of people were outraged to point out that George Lucas has now gone and made another change.
A load of McClunky. Will George Lucas's Star Wars tinkering never end? This is the scene where Guido and Han...
Guido?
Guido.
Greedo.
Greedo.
Guido is a racial epithet for Italian people.
Oh, there goes their monitor. Greedo.
I also didn't even register that, by the way. I was just like, all right.
Yeah, Greedo. Greedo, I don't know. Well, Greedo and Han Solo, you know, Mos Eisley, the shooting scenes, like who shot first, like Han shot first, because Han was a cold-blooded killer, but was he really? I mean, I think his life was in danger. I don't think it's a big deal that he shot first. That doesn't, like, why does that change things?
Well, apparently a lot of people pointed out that was integral to his transformation as a character. Like, he was kind of a piece of shit, and toward the end, he became, a heart of gold. Anyway, and at this point, they shoot at about the same time, and Greedo says McClunky before he dies, and no one understands what that is.
Yeah, so Patton Oswalt had the best tweet about that. It's like, finally, Disney is showing its ad integration for the McClunky brand toilet pucks.
Also, how great was, like, how on the nose were all these names that go, like, Greedo was greedy, right? He was a greedy traitor. And then there was Lieutenant Porkins. Kickstarter. Now, we talked about Kickstarter has a little bit of a problem with unionizing, and they don't like it. You know, they got that Walmart disease where if you talk about unions, you got to go. And in fact, one woman who was trying to unionize was fired. And then she had the most brilliant idea that has ever been conceived in the world of unions.
A fired Kickstarter organizer is trying to organize tech workers using Kickstarter. This kit is passed between coworkers as an act of solidarity and a signal that there is room to organize at your company.
So I guess you can buy these kits, or she's trying to create a company that sells you these kits. And it's like when you join a company, you usually get like an onboarding package. And it's the rule book and some flyers and stuff like that. And
a level one mug.
A pen. And when you onboard with a place like Walmart, for example, some of that stuff is all about, it's like, don't get, you know, seduced by these unions. Oh, they're evil. So this is like the counter to that. This is pro-union propaganda that you can give out to your buddies. Is that, what is this? Is that a cookie?
I thought it was a walnut.
Why would a walnut be? Neither of them fit.
Zoom in. Maybe it's a muffin?
I don't have the keyboard.
Oh. You don't care enough to find
Well, you know what? That's the engagement challenge. What sort of item is this thing? A dried apple?
That's right. Some sort of witchcraft in this Kickstarter.
Wendell, you mentioned that one of your weekend activities is you checked out the new Terminator movie.
Well, I watched the first few minutes of it, and then I stopped.
Why was that?
Well, John Connor died. Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
It does happen very early in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really spoiling anything telling you that. And things took a different direction, and it was like, you know, I'll come back to this later.
Now, a lot of people have guessed, I don't know if they've ever confirmed this, they probably wouldn't, that John Connor dying, although that does upend the entire story up until now, because the entire franchise is based on him, the reason they did that was to take it in a more woke direction with a female protagonist who is from South America, and there's scenes about border crossings. And it seems like the old adage of get woke, go broke is true in this case.
Ouch, Terminator Dark Fate had a huge second weekend drop. My favorite thing about this movie is that they, in like some of the marketing materials and stuff, they got to use fast computers. That's it.
Your favorite part of the movie.
They used the Adobe suite for editing the movie, so that was cool.
Yeah, well, it didn't work out for them. They wasted a lot of money doing that.
Now, it could be fine because it talks about the movie, the worldwide, it would have to make like, what, $460 million to break even. But, you know, the other Terminator movies, they also were not great. But they did pretty well internationally. So this one might.
No, that's the opposite. Because the Chinese movie market didn't pick up until way after the original Terminators. Hmm. So the Chinese people don't have the nostalgia for Terminator.
Ooh.
Yeah. So this is probably going to be even worse in the global market.
Ugh. Yeah, if you weren't like clued in on the original franchise, this movie's not going to make a lot of sense.
You know what? I bet they wish they had a time machine so they could go back and not make this movie. We've talked a lot about therapy animals. Emotional support animals, I think, is actually the correct term. And people who have anxiety about flying will often take their emotional support animals. Still, I think my number one story, if not Romeo the Frog, was Pebbles the hamster.
I still feel bad for Pebbles.
It was a tough story. But some airports are trying to take a more proactive approach. Maybe you don't have to bring your own animal.
World's first airport therapy pig hogs the limelight at San Francisco Airport. You know someone was really happy with themselves with that title.
Oh, man, that headline.
Hogs the limelight.
Lilu.
Oh, well, good pig.
There's a better picture. There we go.
That's a good one. That's really good. Meanwhile, when I go to the cockpit to get my wings and hat and picture with the pilot, they tell me, ma'am, you can't be back here.
Christy, you're too old. Like, man, this is a terrorism concern.
I don't think they do that even for kids anymore. I remember getting, like, the little Delta wings when I was a kid. And they don't do it anymore.
Well, they shouldn't, because kids are stupid. And level one content is not for kids.
But the pilot was so nice.
It only took one kid eating the wings for them to just, like, nope.
Nope, the whole program, done.
Well, perhaps a better use for pigs is not emotional support, but actually restoring our sagging skin.
Surgeons have transplanted living pig skin onto humans for the first time. These genetically engineered pigs could be the solution for the world's organ transplant shortage. So the skin here is designed for burn victims and as a skin graft. And the article implies that eventually the skin graft recipient's own skin will replace the pig skins, but I don't see how that could be possible.
Well, you should... skin cells, so eventually, like, you're a whole new you after a while. So maybe this also sheds.
Well, but they also said
skin grows back.
Maybe that works, but even if it doesn't, it covers so that you can begin to heal. And if the body rejects it, it just falls off. It's not like an organ; it's not going to kill you. So yeah, and eventually they're thinking about CRISPRing these pigs so that the organs inside of them can work with humans.
Literal human ears on the backs of rats.
Like, I hate to say it, but
sounds good.
CRISPR pigs.
Alex Jones totally called this. His insanity about the chimera stuff. This is it. The world that we live in. Now this company is called. The problem here. The worry is that this turns us into mutants, right? Human pig mutants. And the name of this company. Xenoskin. This is pure heresy. This must be cleansed.
That's like, what is it? The guy calling his company Palantir?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't fall for it. Don't leave the light of the emperor just to fix your skin. It's not worth it.
Just to regrow your skin after devastating burns.
Now, sometimes you fly with your animals, not as emotional support, but just because you want your animals to travel with you, right? Krista, would you take Rue in a plane?
No, she's too big to fly in the actual area, so she'd have to stay in the baggage area, and I've heard horror stories about it.
Too big, I think 20 pounds is the limit, but if you're a genius, you figure out a way around that.
Man reportedly loses 400,000 airline miles for sneaking fat cat onto flight. So he got his cat a body double. So he checked in with his cat's body double.
Look!
And then got his 22-pound cat on the flight. And he would have gotten away with it if he hadn't bragged on social media about it.
I know. How is this guy such a genius, but simultaneously such an idiot?
But, I mean, to be fair, if you took a picture like either of these with your cat, like, would you not want to share them? Because look how happy they look.
I think you could do that and not say, like, you know, oh, by the way, I did an end run around the rules.
Yeah, he could have just said, look at the cat on the... And so he, after all this, posted this, and he says, you know, this was the last time his cat was under the weight limit. When it was a baby.
Aww.
So he doesn't seem too broken up about it. Although 400,000 airline miles?
Yeah.
That's valuable. But the cat got to go where it was going, so...
Could be worse, I guess.
I guess he won. Now, we've talked about it before. The Epstein didn't kill himself meme is the greatest meme in the world. Probably gets us demonetized just for saying it. But one genius has figured out...
I made sure of that earlier.
With your...
Why do you hate
obvious
Italians?
Racism. Italian-Americans. Remember the guy that we talked about that he was trying to run for governor to do the Facebook ad?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is another genius idea in that vein.
Next level trolling. Man attempts to run for president in New Hampshire. As Epstein didn't kill himself. So his name on the ticket will be Epstein didn't kill himself. Now this guy has a reputation of being a bit of a troll.
Yeah, he sounds sounds like the most annoying human being on the planet. You know, he's like a militant vegan hippie. Just a person you'd never want to meet. But this was a good idea. Now, he points out that in the law, you're allowed to use a nickname. For example, Jeb Bush. That's not his name. The word Jeb doesn't appear in anybody's... And Beto O'Rourke, not really his name. Bernie. Man's name is Bernard, but he's running as Bernie. So he says, my nickname As Epstein didn't kill himself.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
He did not get away with it because the you know, the person who was in charge of this kept turning him away. And the only place you can appeal is to a committee that guy chairs. Unfortunate. I think legally he should be allowed to do that, but he probably won't be able to.
It is kind of funny.
So we talked earlier about that new MacBook, and it was like $6,000?
Yeah.
$6,500?
At the highest end, yeah.
If you really want to have the best, even though I say that's still not the best laptop you could get, you're going to get the Apple. But the thing about it is, in schools, they don't adopt them, probably because they're so expensive.
Yeah.
Instead, they go with Chromebooks, which are super cheap. And an Apple executive had something to say about that when he was talking to schools.
Top Apple execs say students who use Google's cheap laptops at school are not going to succeed. Aw, that was Phil Schiller. He slammed Google's Chromebooks in an interview that CNET published on Wednesday, saying that students who use them are not going to succeed.
What a cool guy.
That's
not a good look.
That's not a good thing to say.
Even Ryan, who hates children, is like, wow. Apple, a jerk.
I think Apple cultivates that sort of entitled culture. Their company's kind of rotten from the inside. It's not technologically better. It's usually rotten behind inside. The curve.
But that is, I think they're selling that.
Exclusivity?
Yeah, that's like, hey, if you don't have Apple products, then you're a pleb.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
You're never going to be successful.
The reality is the opposite.
Unix was meant to be free.
But not
in freedom.
Not iOS. This story, oh my God, this makes so much sense. When I was reading this, I was like, oh, that's why they do that. Of course it is.
Pointless work meetings, really a form of therapy. So what this article does is explain that all those pointless work meetings you have to go to are really so that everybody can, one, vent their frustration, and two, feel some sense of self-worth as they explain whatever it is that they did that no one otherwise cared about.
And they point out that in the modern economy, we have so many people who are just managing, but they don't really ever do anything. Like, they don't create anything of value. All they do is meet. And so they generate more meetings to try and have some feeling of fulfillment that they've actually done something, because they're never going to generate anything because they're incapable of it. So what they generate is meetings.
This is going to be transformational to the economy if we recognize this trend and stop it.
Yeah, it's going to cost a lot of jobs.
I was going to say we would need manufacturing jobs to come back. No one wants that.
Now, I remember once upon a time we did a story about a guy who pretended to be disabled or mentally something was wrong with him in order to get his diaper fantasies fulfilled. I don't remember the details of that. I think we did it on the Level 1 News. So this is not unique, but it is disgusting.
Fox 61 has the story about a man pretending to be disabled in order to trick home care workers into changing his diapers, police say. And he was reported, was it like 60 times? Because they suspected something was amiss.
He kept going on Craigslist and posting that his brother Rory, which was actually him, was special needs and needed, you know, all these services. And yes, healthcare worker after healthcare worker would walk away from this job and report that something weird might be going on here. What tipped them off? Erections. What do you think in his mind? How did that play out perfectly?
Yeah, perfectly enough to have multiple healthcare workers report that maybe something's amiss.
No, but I'm saying there was no fulfillment there, right? Like, there was no completion. What is that? All he wanted was to expose himself.
Maybe. Some people, that's actually like a thing. Like the joy is the shock. So this is terrible, but if you're ever flashed, you just don't react and you walk away.
But he was paying a non-trivial amount of money to bring in healthcare. I mean, healthcare workers are not cheap.
No, they're not.
You would think a sex worker would be cheaper, right? I guess she would only be pretending to be shocked. It's got to be real.
I guess, yeah, I don't.
Well, the internet is powerful.
This is what happens when the adult section of Craigslist is banned.
Yeah. Unintended consequence. But still, see, I think for him, it's all about the person has to be unsuspecting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like someone who flashes themselves outside of a car. Like, that's just...
Which is dark. By the way, that is a sex crime, and he's charged with like 15 counts.
Yeah.
As he should be. But the power of the internet, when they don't like something and when the meme magic comes to, you know, full fruition, meaningful change can happen. And sometimes things like getting reality stars elected to the presidency. But other things may be a little bit more positive.
The new Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer is a giant relief, he said somewhat sarcastically as this Guardian article. Like, this
movie is still mediocre.
This whole thing was the most brilliant marketing scheme ever. They had no intention of doing the Sonic the Hedgehog the way that the original screens were.
You really
were.
Think that?
I don't know.
This movie has gotten more press buzz than it ever would have gotten if it had initially debuted with these graphics.
I'll admit that you're describing something that is absolutely brilliant. What I don't think is that modern Hollywood could ever come up with that plan.
Do they have the pictures in the... Like, I don't know if everyone remembers.
Yeah, they have
should show them the pictures in case they haven't seen it.
There's a side-by-side. Oh,
there isn't a side-by-side. This is the original look.
Oh, yeah, there's the old one.
Yeah, there's
and I maintain that the weirdest part of this is, A, he has human teeth, which you can't see in this picture, but also no eyebrows. And that's like one of Sonic's distinctive like things is the eyebrows.
They don't show the teeth here.
Yeah. Well, that's the revised version, but like original was terrifying.
It's definitely better. I didn't have a lot of investment in this, but I remember watching that trailer and being like, "Wow, there's just something not right."
It's uncanny. It's
very unpleasant.
Eyebrows. You need eyebrows.
You think that there was? It's just like the yes man Hollywood system that got that all the way through to production.
Well, they're like, you know, whatever. They'll watch it.
Yeah.
These nerds.
It's like, it just like, doesn't even matter.
Yeah.
The thing that is like, okay, if you're looking forward to the Sonic movie, why don't you watch the made-for-TV Super Mario Brothers movie? And let me know how that, like, engagement channels, let me know about that.
No, that was a theatrical release, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I've only ever seen it on TV, but yeah, I think it was.
Because that had a pretty big name actor in it.
I think I've only seen the TV version. Well, engagement challenge, does that scratch the itch for you? Or can we look forward to a Super Mario Brothers reboot?
I mean, that had some really disturbing stuff because, like, the Koopas were dinosaurs, and that was a really weird movie.
I mean, to be fair, when you, like, actually sit and think about the premise of Mario, it's like, I'm crushing these little mushroom men, and, like...
Yeah, they kind of went with that, you know, like, how creepy would that be if you took the pixel cartoony stuff away from it?
Yeah.
And the answer is extremely. Much better was the Captain Lou Albano TV version of Mario.
I'm pretty sure if they work Bowsette into whatever they do, it's going to be an instant blockbuster.
What would it be? It'd be so weird. Like, yeah. It'd be strangely woke at one hand, because it's like, oh, yeah. We gender swapped the villain, but
that
also...
That could be huge.
But also, she's sexy now. That's kind of what they did with Shelob, the spider, in the games.
But here's the question, though. Do you cast a female in that role, or transgender?
Hmm. The debates of our time.
Darkest timeline.
And I know people get comments like, transgenders are females, but you know what I'm talking about. Christmas is coming, and you got to ask yourself, what do you get the people on your list? It is a huge question, and sometimes you have no idea what it is. And perhaps, for the person who has everything, I bet they don't have this.
Hidden Valley is selling a Christmas stocking filled with 52 ounces of ranch dressing.
You know who the target audience is for this? Midwesterners. I can see Midwesterners eating this up. If it came with, like, packaged with a board game, it'd be perfect.
Now, it looks... They kind of cropped this, unfortunately. It looks like the top is a screw-off top up here, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
But I think it'd be better if there was, like, a little spigot at the bottom.
So you could hang it off your mantle and
then just walk over
underneath it while the fire's going. Yeah.
Or put it on your plate. Either way.
I really question how long ranch dressing is going to survive being on the mantle above the fireplace.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be delicious. I don't know.
That's a good question.
You get to really chew it while you eat.
It's probably shelf stable until you pop the top. But at 52 ounces...
I don't think anything is shelf stable with all of the heat and infrared from, you know, a live fire.
It'll just be a little bit chunky.
That'd be a great YouTube video that somebody could make to get that and figure out how long it takes for it to go bad.
We should do that. A weird science video from level one.
We could go put it like on the wall next to the boiler. I guarantee it would be bad by the end of the day. Like it would be like super disgusting.
But how are we going to determine that? Somebody has to try.
We have interns.
I think we can visually inspect, you know, like when it comes out of the container into the cup in chunks, it's...
Mm. Yeah, but it could go bad long before then. We need to know exactly the moment that it goes. This is maybe the best headline that's ever been written by Vice. It's subtle, but it's brilliant.
I'm not reading that one. PayPal Linda looked at me like, you do it.
PayPal pulls out of Pornhub, hurting hundreds of thousands of performers. You know, the first time I read it, I didn't even catch it.
I didn't catch it either until he
pulled out.
It. Yeah, I got it now.
Do you see what they did there?
I see what they did there.
Because it's porn.
So yeah, PayPal is not going to process transactions anymore. PayPal actually said, oh yeah, we didn't know this was going on. We're just going to turn this off.
I didn't understand this about Pornhub. So apparently Pornhub is... I thought Pornhub just like collected porn movies and let you watch them with ad support, right? No.
It's like a Patreon of that kind of content.
You can submit your personal movies to Pornhub and people can somehow pay you for them. Which is incredible.
Neat.
I guess it's... Is it more like Twitch in that regard, maybe?
Kind of, but it's not live. But you can have
a
channel.
There's a section there.
You can have a channel, and somehow they can contribute to your channel and encourage you to upload more, I guess. I don't know. But Pornhub has said that they're going to immediately switch people over to other payment versions, and they're working around the clock to try to make sure that nothing gets backed up because of this.
And cryptocurrency is in the future.
Which is really going to give a lot of ammunition to the people who say that cryptocurrency is only for fringe, you know, horrible things.
It's legal in Vegas.
Well, I mean, you know, porn's legal in a lot of places, so. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
And that's all we've got.
It's dark. It's cold.
See you next week.
The Christmas list is coming.
You do not want to miss the coming videos on Monday. Oh my gosh.
It's time for us to pull out. We'll see you next week.
Bye.